Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts.
Okay, hello everyone. Leah, thank you so much for joining our Ivy Podcast. We're very, very excited to have you as a guest. Our partner John actually met you in one of the events that you guys held in California. I'm very, very excited to get to know more about yourself, about your career. I'm sure a lot of our listeners will be very excited to learn about your, you know, about your background and how you actually built your career. This podcast, I'd love to focus on real practical advice from your side. I'd love this to be very transparent, very easygoing. Conversation between us, and I'm sure this conversation will be very insightful for our listeners as well.
Great. No, thank you for having me. I'm honored to be on the podcast.
Amazing, Leah. Could you please share more about yourself, about your background, so that our listeners get an understanding of your background as well?
Sure. So I'm Leah Williams. I'm the founder and CEO of Mercury. My background is sales. I started early days. Started working when I was 16 as a salesperson at a Sports Authority shoe department. Right after graduating from UGA, I moved to New York. And because I don't come from a trust fund company, I knew that if I was going to live in Manhattan, I'm on my own and I have to, get whatever job I can to make it happen up there. And so I started out in event sales and mostly actually stayed within that industry, with the exception of a brief enterprise sales role. But stayed within event sales. I started out on a, bullpen sales floor, cold calling CIOs and CTOs, actually really C-suite leaders in various industries for events. So I had sales roles, audience development roles, and actually early days, and I think I was sharing this with you, we met earlier, but very early days, I worked for an organization that, didn't allow you to sit down. So you were, this is a firm on Wall Street. We were essentially standing up cold calling. So, I think, getting tough skin really early on in the game was really helpful in my career. And then kind of worked my way up as a sales leader within the audience development space, which is a very weird and niche space. And if you're not familiar, it's essentially, it is what it says, right? You're building an audience, and that could be you're building an audience of vice president level leaders, C-level leaders, et cetera. And then moved into Mercury, where I think, the main themes of having that thick skin was extremely helpful to, start a company.
Wow, what a background. I know that, being a salesperson and doing all those cold calling, cold emails, cold outreach is one of the toughest things, especially if you're an introvert and people who are actually very afraid of talking to strangers, talking to new people. It's a nightmare, and I know how tough it can be sometimes. Because I used to do the same thing, and when I previously worked in different companies, cold calling, outreaches is something very challenging. Because I'm more of an introvert rather than an extrovert, even though I'm an open person who actually who can get along with anyone. But back in the days, I used to be very introverted, and I know how difficult it can get sometimes.
Yes. Yes, then it makes you that cold call. I'm very fortunate that I did have to have that job, because I think that it, really carried through and is one of the major themes that has carried through my whole career, is having that thick skin. And then also, I think the feedback piece as well.
Yeah, but essentially, I think that was a great experience. Being a salesperson is actually prepares you to become an entrepreneur. To actually be able to sell anything, because if you go through this school of being able to sell something, then of course in your life, I think you will be, you'll be unstoppable and will be able to sell anything to anyone.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Could you please, tell me more about your journey as well? I'm very curious about, so you've gone from corporate roles to global executives events, to founding Mercury. What through line connects all of that?
Yeah, great question. So I think that, really the two, I would say, common themes that have been consistent throughout my whole career, again, would be, the thick skin that we talked about, having that thick skin. But then also, maybe even more important would be feedback. And that's feedback from internal customers, feedback from external customers, and using that feedback as data to run your business.
Yeah, that really makes sense and very interesting. And was that threat obvious to you at the time, or did it only make sense like in hindsight?
I think in hindsight, because, well, especially with the thick skin part, when you become, one thing that I didn't anticipate, becoming a founder is that you're not only were you trying, are you trying to sell to your customers and do that early research on, hey, is this going to work? Is this a good idea? But you're also telling your entire family and friends that this is what I'm doing, and you're kind of selling them too, right? And so I think, really early days, having learning that, wow, this is what I'm doing, and this is what I'm sharing with my friends, is just a pretty it's pretty wild. And then getting their reaction of, okay, so you worked your way up in New York to vice president level, and you've, as long as we've known you've had this really stable job. And then you just decided to say, you know what, I'm good. I'm gonna do research and start my own thing. And I mean, just the seeing the reaction of some friends was really hard. Because friends is and family, that's who you see when you're not trying to sell your business or your idea. And so not having that support, also, I think was really hard.
Yeah, that really makes sense because essentially when you are entrepreneur, you're actually, you're always selling, no matter
Always
who
selling.
you talk to. You're selling to your siblings, you're selling to your family, to your colleagues, to your friends. So that's a journey that never ends. And it's actually
Right.
very interesting because the more you sell, not like selling very aggressively, but selling in terms of having that conversation with someone and then just mentioning about your product, because I think that essentially makes you, a person who people really, want to listen to, because the more passion you put into something you are saying about your product, the more people get, very curious and they get interested by your words and want to really use your product. Because I'm an entrepreneur myself and I used to build a couple of my own startups. And I know that for myself that I used to always be selling, and I had that fitness application, and I had that in my phone. I was always walking around with that phone and showing everyone, "Hey guys, can you try this app out, and just let me know what you think? Can you let me know what I should fix, what I should add, what you think?" Right? So I
Right.
totally understand your perspective as well. Yeah,
That's
and
awesome.
in terms of Mercury, I'm very curious to learn more about how you actually came up with that idea to build Mercury. I'm sure that guests, our listeners, will be very, very interested and curious to learn about what actually motivated you to start your own company.
Sure. So I think that, when I think back to why did I start it? I didn't start it with, because I wanted to be an entrepreneur or a founder. I really started it because, when I come into a role, whether that was, me as a 21-year-old sales leader, or vice president, when I come into a role, I'm all in, and I know that I'm most in my field, most likely gonna have to travel a lot, late nights, pouring all my blood and sweat into a role. I want to believe in it. And so I think that it wasn't, oh, I can't wait to start this company, but it was, I want to create a role for myself that I believe in. And because it's all hard, no matter what job you take, it's hard. And so I think that I think that was what I was really searching for. And there were two conversations that I had with good friends, mentors, both C-level leaders, I had it probably about maybe a month apart, 6 weeks apart. And the first one was my really good friend, Rich Drudge, and who's a serial entrepreneur. And you know, he said, "Leah, what are you doing with this network that you have?" And I said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "Well, all of your clients are vice president, C-level leaders. So what are you doing with this network?" And I kind of took a step back and said, I didn't really know that I had a network, which I know sounds silly, but and he said, "Well, you've been at these companies for 4 and 5 years, and then your clients follow you to the next company." And so I said, "Okay, well, I guess I do have this network." And I kind of noodled on it, and I thought, I don't want to start my own thing. And then when I was in New York, in 2019, I met with one of my, again, really good friends who's been a mentor of mine for a long time, Bryson Koehler. He's a former EVP CTO of a Fortune 1000 company. And, you know, we are joking about the conference world and networking and how it's difficult to a lot of times to find that, that fish in the sea, that peer that you identified on this shiny list of attendees as, "Wow, I know she did something really incredible that I'd like to hear more about on," or, "Wow, I know that guy just went through a massive transformation. I'd love to talk to him one-to-one while he's here." And it's so hard to do that because you've got, regardless of what event you go to, could be that that person canceled from the event, could be that there's too many salespeople there that you can't actually get to that individual, or when that individual is not speaking, trying to find him or her not on a call, right? And so I remember there's one line that he said that I think I actually use on all of my new member calls. And he said, "Why can I not just call a CTO in Seattle and figure out how that guy's solving something?" And so that really resonated with me. And I said, "Well, I guess Rich said that, this is my network and that kind of sounds fun." And of course it wasn't as easy as that, right? I did a lot of research first, but I think that was really what motivated me, just, between those two leaders and thankfully having a supportive family to do that. But, I think that's really what led me to start Mercury.
Well, that's an amazing story. I'm sure that a lot of our listeners will be happy to to resonate with you, because I'm actually there as well in terms of more or less having the same experience. Because in terms of the family as well, I think it's very, very important for your family to actually support your journey as well. Because a lot of the times we always see that some of the founders are telling me ideas like my parents, my previous boss, my current boss is not supporting me, and I don't know what to do. I don't feel supported. I don't know how to actually build my startup. So I listen to these kind of stories on a, almost on a daily basis. So I think it's a very it's a very nice thing to have in your life in general. So yeah, and I would love to transition to the mentorship side, and and the Mercury model in general. Could you please tell me more about like why do you believe mentorship is the most under-leveraged growth lever for leaders, in your personal opinion?
Sure. So I guess it's kind of trite to say, right? But you don't know what you don't know. And so I think that really any opportunity to meet with someone that is further down the line than you are and to understand, how did you go through these specific, it could be maybe it's a specific issue you're having at work, or maybe it's just, "Hey, I'm at a director level. How do I get to the C-suite? And how did you, or how do I get to a VP? Or how do I get to an SVP role?" So I think just having that external, sounding board and person to give you advice, and really, relive it with you, is so important.
Yeah, that's really the case. Because a lot of the times, whenever I talk to the founders, the fellow entrepreneurs, the my colleagues, they always talk about leadership and how to actually become a real leader. But in reality, what I actually see, a lot of the talk that I hear, a lot of the noise I hear, it's actually that's something they don't really implement in their own lives. And whenever I ask
Right.
about their leadership styles, whenever I ask about their, how you view leadership, how you usually lead your people as an entrepreneur, I mean, like best of the best, they know the clear answer. But the people who are actually well somewhere in the middle or at the very beginning, they give shallow answers, and you just you can actually figure out the person's level from simply getting out their answers. Yeah,
Right.
and yeah, that's something I actually noticed about a lot of entrepreneurs and about their leadership levels as well.
Right. And I think the coolest thing too is that what I and one thing that I didn't know is, when we first started our leadership development program, the thought process is, okay, we have this ecosystem of CIOs and CTOs and CEOs. And so the obvious mentorship, right? Or obvious succession is we're having directors and vice president and senior vice president levels come to us because they want to level up. They want to speak with our C-level leaders, right? And have the external mentorship. But what I didn't realize is the C-level, they don't stop learning. They have, and I think the reason that they're C-level and the reason that they're so successful is because they're continuing to stay curious. They are wanting to learn. We've got a CIO in our network that's a race car driver because he wanted to go learn something new. And of course he's mastered that. We've got CIOs and CTOs in our network that have become, founders and CEOs, and have just, really wanted to continue to have, mentors of their own, but also continue to learn from other organizations, other industries. So I think that's been something that's really interesting to me is not only is do you have this one lower level group trying to get to the C level, but the C level is, trying to stay relevant. They're going for board seats, they're going for, CEO roles. So
That's absolutely the case, and I actually see that every single day, because John is actually my mentor, and not only him, right? We also have another GP in our fund, Adil, and I actually learned a lot from them as well in terms of, the knowledge side. Whenever we're traveling together, he's always, wearing his headphones, listening to Spotify podcasts, reading books, talking to amazing people like yourself and also other amazing, executives. So I actually get very, very inspired by the people who are actually always learning, because that actually defines a person who actually gets stuck not only in his business but also in his general life, with the person who actually always succeeds in every stage of his life, whether it be family, whether it be business, sports, and any other field. And in terms of the network, we all know that phrase that your network is your net worth. Could you please tell me
yes.
more about your vision on how to build an effective network so that you actually know who to talk to whenever you need something? And of course, we know that we have to bring value first before asking, but I just wanted to learn more about how you actually see it, and what would your advice be in terms of how to build your network?
Ooh, that's a good question. Well, I'll talk a little bit about Mercury and, how we grew Mercury, because that is the network that I own, right? And then I can share a little bit about your own personal network too. But I think that, going back to some of the themes that I saw early on in my career that have been consistent, which is the, the thick skin, and then using the feedback as data to run your company. I think, when I first started Mercury, I thought, okay, so a win would be that I'm going to have, 10 CIOs in a room in New York, right? And create this very high touch dinner and networking event for them. And That was and yes, they, you know, they like that, right? No one's mad at a high-end dinner. But what I learned is that, you know, when I actually asked them for feedback, I said, okay, well, where do you guys want to see this go? They said, well, you know, we love this, the peer network for us, but we want to, you know, have an opportunity to shape the next generation of technology leaders. And that wasn't even something that was remotely on my radar because I just thought I did a good job by getting 10, 12 CIOs in a room, right? It's like, okay, I've created this. We created this platform for you to connect on with members globally. And then I got you to a high-end dinner, you know, flourish, right? I did my job. And so I'm so grateful, you know, that I am awkward and feel, you know, even though it is awkward and uncomfortable, that I do just continue to get that feedback from customers to understand what do you want to see? And I think that that's really how we've grown our network is just to continue to be feedback driven, member driven, and really ask our customers what they want to see. And I was really, I'm so, again, so thankful to have the partnership with Big Sky Capital because I think that, you know, another theme that we've seen recently when it comes to staying curious and continuing to grow your network, at the, you know, even when you're at the C level is getting on board seats, right? And that's not, you know, and we talked about this in California, but the board seat isn't necessarily to get more revenue, get more personal revenue. There are paid board seats out there and those are great. But I think the most attractive thing about the board seats is really being able to learn how another organization operates. So you get, you know, a firsthand look at, you know, how another company runs. And obviously, you know, you're there to help with strategy. But I think that's just another way that C-level leaders grow their network is okay, they go in, they learn what another company is doing, and then they're also, you know, extending their network now to everyone else that's on that board, likely from different organizations. So I think that, you know, just in terms of growing Mercury, and that, you know, my network, I think that you know, be always asking for feedback and ask and not being afraid to ask for referrals. I also really hate doing that one, but you know, I do it because if you don't ask, right, what is it? You know, you lose every or you miss every shot you don't make. Said a lot of trite statements, I feel like. So sorry, you can cut that one out if you want. But anyways, yeah, I think it's important, you know, asking your customers, both internal and external, for feedback on where they want to see it, the company grow. And then also not being able to afraid to ask for a referral. And I think in terms of building your own personal network, one thing that I've found really, you know, there's you can go to an event regardless of what level you are. I think you could go to an industry event every single night of the week if you wanted to. I definitely don't, I don't recommend that. I think that, you know, really looking through the list and being clear on who's going to be there. Is that an interesting list of people that you want to see? Okay, maybe you try it out. Is it a low cost to, you know, low barrier entry? Try it out, right? What's the worst that could happen? And then also I think, you know, taking advantage of just your, you know, your neighborhood wine group or your neighborhood I don't know, block parties. And I know sometimes, you know, especially as introvert, my husband's an introvert. But I think, you know, with those kind of opportunities, those are folks that are your friends and want to see you succeed. And so I think it's just always really helpful to, you know, to be involved in your neighborhood, organizations, as well.
Wow, well, what a brilliant advice. I'm definitely gonna have to listen to our podcast myself, because right now my brain's literally exploding from the amount of advice, from the amount of information I'm getting in terms of how to build that network. Obviously we're using our own tools, but it's always nice to have different instruments in your portfolio and that we can always take out and just use in these kinds of situations and networking events as well. There are a lot of actually entrepreneurs, young entrepreneurs, who are actually going to listen to our podcast, and I want them to know some of the things to do whenever they're visiting some events and networking events, especially because a couple of years ago, even 5, 6 years ago, when I visited these kinds of events, I was so nervous, I was so like worried and preoccupied. What should I say? How should I approach a certain person? Of course, they're gonna like pressure me with their reputation. They're gonna pressure me with all the things they know, and I was so uncomfortable. I just want to know, so how do you create like a psychological safety among people who are used to being the smartest or most powerful like person in the room?
Sure. So, I mean, I think that, and when you're saying, okay, you're, potentially intimidated by folks at an event, don't forget that people really like to talk about themselves. They want, and I mean, the whole reason that, Mercury has a leadership development program is because we have this ecosystem of C-level leaders that wanted to give back. And so I think if you are considering going to an event and there's really impressive, C-level leaders or just, I mean, anyone, they don't have to have the C-level title, but impressive leaders that you want to talk to and learn from, I think approaching them with, maybe the mentorship piece or maybe, I don't know, maybe don't use the word mentor. Well, you can. I was gonna say maybe don't use the word mentor because then they might be thinking, oh my gosh, this is a year-long commitment. But I think just, asking them for their insights, hey, I would love to talk to you, maybe look for an article that they wrote, or a quote recently and see, hey, I'd love to talk to you about X article you wrote for HBR. And people like to talk about themselves and they want to think that they are giving back to to their, their successors. So.
That's a great psychological trick to use. Even though like
Well, it's not a trick. That is what you want,
yeah.
essentially. But, I think just instead of saying, hey, can I pick your brain for 5 minutes? Like, okay. I don't know. Sometimes that, I
Exactly.
guess that could work, but.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, like people who actually achieved something in their lives, the majority of them, they always want to give back. What I actually noticed from my own experience, people I talk to, and they always, create their own Instagram accounts, social media accounts, LinkedIn pages to share about their, success pathway and how they actually achieved certain things. And I truly believe that, people just should be more open-minded in terms of approaching certain people. In terms of just saying, asking a question. Of course, the first time you're going to ask a question, it's going to be a terrible question. You're going to get intimidated. You're going to start
Right.
regretting why on earth did I actually ask this question? I could have asked a different question, right? But I think you're right 100%. And what I would actually add is not to be afraid of asking any kinds of questions, because the more questions you ask a certain person, the better you're going to get at asking questions. So I think what I would actually advise myself 5 to 6 years ago is just go out there and ask any kinds of questions first, and then once you master that skill of just not being afraid to ask questions, then of course you can tailor some of your questions to these amazing individuals that you're going to talk to.
Right. I also think one thing that helped me early on, and I mean I think anyone can do this. I happen to live about 10 minutes from Georgia Tech, but just getting in touch with your local a local university that has an incubator attached to it or some kind of program for entrepreneurs. A lot of times they're either free or extremely cheap. And one thing that I did that really helped was I connected myself with ATDC at Georgia Tech, and that gives you the opportunity to share about your business with a peer cohort. And I talked in my peer cohort was someone, creating a wind turbine someone creating an ergonomical chair, and then me creating a tech network. So it was really neat to have that peer cohort that you could talk to, but also we had the opportunity. I think it was every once a month, where they brought in different leaders from the outside to come in and kind of listen to our pitch and listen to how we were progressing in terms of our customers and our revenue. And I think just having that safe space to talk to your peers and just screw up, and then talk to those leaders that are there just to help you is really impactful. And I feel like that would help when you're kind of thinking through a line of questioning with a new customer or just a person that you want to learn insight from at an event or whatever it is.
Yeah, that's a great insight. I'm actually taking notes on some of the things that you're telling me right now, and I will definitely want to use these new tools whenever I'm approaching new people. During my next networking events or just simple events, because a lot of things I'm actually rethinking about my approach to networking, to building that my network as well. And a lot of things that you were saying is something new for me. And definitely going to use all these new information that I actually got from you and implement it in my own career. And I would love to transition to the part in terms of the habits, in terms of the actions that people usually take, and then after that they regret about taking those steps. We all know what to do, right? A lot of the entrepreneurs, they get so much exposure to information that you have to be doing this, you have to be doing that, do a lot of things to achieve more, right? But in reality, what we actually hear nowadays is that you have to stop doing certain things to actually to advance in your career or advance in your startup. Could you please tell me more about, what personal trait has helped you most, and which one you have to, you have to had to outgrow?
Ooh, good question. Personal, I think it would have to go back to the thick skin. That's the personal trait that you just have to have as a founder, because you're not going to win unless you are actively going after, customer feedback, but also talking through some of your losses. I did have a member leave our network about a year ago, and I thought, you know what? And one of my mentors said, you got to go figure out why he left. And it was so uncomfortable, but I'm so glad that I did, because I got a lot of really great information out of it. And so I think being able to have those kind of conversations, but more important, talking through, what your customer has liked about your product and what they want to see and what's gonna, feel successful for both of you is really important, those conversations to have. And then I think in terms of letting go, you really have to let go of your seniority from your past organizations. I think my CMO and I have both had to do this. Because, when I was a vice president, I had whole teams of people that ran events for me. They were these amazing 21-year-olds, and I can't believe, in hindsight, I can't believe we didn't pay them more, because now I do that. My intern, my CMO, and I were planning the events. And so I think just kind of getting out of your head that who cares if you were, and she actually used to be the CMO of HSBC. So getting out of that, oh, I'm a this level strategy, operator, right? And just realizing that if you're a founder, if you're a startup, it's all hands on deck, and everyone wears a lot of hats. And it doesn't matter if you're actually the person, you might be the founder, you might actually be the person that is reaching out to see if your keynote has allergies. It might, the things that they seem, so lowly to you, you've got to just, hop in, get your hands dirty, and just make sure that everyone is clear that we're all on the same level playing field here.
That's an amazing advice, honestly, because every single word you're saying, every single, advice you're giving to me and also to our listeners is something super valuable. Honestly, I can't thank you enough in terms of, all the information, because I actually face a lot of the times, people, from different companies, whenever they leave their own, corporate life or the companies that where they used to work, and they used to be like CEOs, CIOs, CTOs, and they start building their own, careers, their own startups, and they always believe that, okay, I was the CEO at one of the largest banks, now I can do the same thing, and then they start, looking at it from that perspective, from the old perspective, while ignoring all the, all the reality things, all the things that are actually going to hit you in reality in terms of, in terms of building the team from the scratch. And doing all the, all the boring work yourself, and all the hard work yourself at the beginning. And that's something a lot of people miss, and underestimate, leaving their corporate jobs.
I agree. And also, gosh, the other thing that is just so tough is realizing that, if you make them, if you choose the wrong vendor, or if you, and which I guess, that happened, could happen at a, multi-billion dollar corporation too, but it's on you. Everything, it's your company. So yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we actually know that a lot of people nowadays, they're working their 9 to 5 jobs. They get bored. They say, okay, I'm gonna be the next Jeff Bezos. I'm gonna be the next Elon Musk. And a lot of these people actually have that passion within them that they actually wanna make their dreams a reality. And in your personal opinion, like, what advice would you give someone leaving a stable career to building something from the very scratch?
Good question. Don't do it. Just kidding. Just kidding. I think, like I talked about earlier, having, getting in touch with a local university, just talking to as many people as you possibly can, in the early days, well, and now too, but I think talking to as many people as you can about your idea and doing research while you still have your corporate role is really important. I mean, it doesn't take, you could take a in I mean in theory you could take a lunch time or a weekend to talk to friends and potential customers or adjacent customers about what you're trying to build and really make sure that it has legs and just be prepared that you need to go talk to, as like we talked about earlier in the conversation, your family, your friends, talking to everyone about your idea, and feeling confident and feeling that, yes, it has legs. But I think really, connecting yourself with an incubator of any kind, that can help you, help you, especially in the early days, is really important.
Yeah, that's absolutely the case, because unfortunately, I mean, like, a lot of the times when I was actually, building my own startup, my own company from the very scratch, like 3 to 4 years ago, and even earlier, I had one company that I wasn't that built in terms of, and we had a challenge of not having enough accelerators, enough incubators to actually build that idea from scratch. It was like 5 to 6 years ago. We actually struggled a lot, and the only thing we had is just people who actually built something before. Just go and talk to them, like, what your advice be to me, as a founder who's actually just starting off. And actually my incubator was my father. My incubator was some of the people who actually achieved something in their lives, built their own businesses. So and we actually know that not everyone have like not everyone's parents are entrepreneurs or businessmen, and fortunately enough, nowadays we have a lot of accelerators, a lot of incubators all around the world, especially in emerging markets. So I think founders can actually use this amazing opportunity to build their own companies from scratch.
Yes, and I think that, having that, like you said, having those co-founders early on that, or sorry, not the co-founders, but having other founders surrounding you early on is just is so important because you're getting to learn with them at the same time, but then also, having access to ones that are, 5, 10, 20 years down the road, is really important.
Yes, absolutely. Leah, actually, one of the last questions I really wanted to ask you in terms of, Mercury. Could you please share more about how you actually view Mercury, let's say in 3 to 5 years from now, and where's your vision in terms of building Mercury to a new level?
Sure. So I think that envisioning it as a succession platform for leaders at all levels is really our vision. Because, like I mentioned, when we first started, I thought that I was just creating the safe space for CIOs and CTOs to meet each other. And what we learned is that it is so important for our CIOs and CTOs to continue to succeed, whether that's, continue to succeed in their role, so they get maybe a larger or enterprise role, or they get a board seat, or they progress to a CEO. And so I think that not only creating an ecosystem for these director and vice president level leaders to have access to our C levels for them to grow and succeed, but for also CIOs and CTOs to come to us, instead of thinking of it as this peer network and a way to give back, but also a way for them to succeed to the next level.
That's a fantastic vision for the future, and I'm very, very excited for the potential collaboration between Big Sky Capital and also the Mercury. And I'm sure we'll be able to create amazing, networking events as well as normal events, and we'll be able to, build something, create some amazing events together. And I'm very, very, excited to participate in all these events and talk to so many amazing people in the future.
Me too. Me too. Yeah, I'm excited for Miami as well.
Yeah, that's amazing. Very excited. Leah, so one of the questions that I always ask our guests is what learning materials they usually use to actually stay sharp-minded, to always be able to tackle those challenges that life consistently throws at us, right? So whether it be a book or a podcast or a journal, what do you usually use to keep yourself inspired, to keep yourself motivated every day to build an amazing company like Mercury?
Yeah, that's a great question. I love listening to I have a Masterclass account. Whenever I can, I like to listen to different folks that are completely outside of my wheelhouse. So they have sports leaders on there. I think Kim Kardashian's business podcast is on there now. So I think that just being able to learn from as many different types of leaders as you can, and getting their insights through a very different lens is super important. I especially like to do that while I'm getting outside. So if I'm stuck on something, I like to just walk outside and listen to that, because I find that just natural daylight really helps a lot. And then I also, one of the most recent, actually, I've got two books for you that I've read recently that have been really impactful. And one I think is relevant to everyone, and that's Tom Scott and Dick Halb's book, which is Going Beyond Business as Usual, where they talk about their neuroscience behind meetings and decision making in business. So I think that's a really helpful one. And then, oh my goodness, I'm blanking on the name. But there's a book very specific to events and making events impactful. That's been extremely helpful to me personally and in my industry. And just, making sure that events are meaningful, and that you're not, again, just putting people in a room and okay, flourish, but yeah, making that event meaningful and making sure that people leave, with a really strong takeaway from your event.
That's amazing, because I'm sure that we're gonna write the name of the second book in the description, in the description for our podcast, so that our listeners will be able to download or buy through Amazon or any other local platforms, because
Yes, I
these
will. I'm
books
sorry.
will be
I'll find the name for you on the second one.
that would be amazing, because we're very, very curious to learn, because I'm a fan of reading as well. And even though, like, for me personally, what I actually use to actually stay sharp-minded is play like mind games. Sometimes I play mind games, I learn languages, I talk to amazing people. My main source of information, my main source of inspiration is talking to people who are smarter than me, who are more experienced than me. So that's, I totally agree with you on that term as well. Yeah. Leah, thank you so much for such an amazing podcast. I really learned a lot from today's podcast. I'm
Me
definitely going to
too.
start, implementing all the knowledge, all the information that you've shared with us today to become even a better person, to become a better leader, to become a better entrepreneur. And I'm sure that our listeners feel the same way. And we are extremely grateful for all the insights that you actually shared with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Leah.